welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm super excited about my guest today. We've been friends for a while, and we connected over this joint passion we have about helping people just have incredibly amazing marriages. She is Amberly Lambertson of A Prioritized Marriage, and I am so excited she agreed to come be on the podcast today. Hi, Amberly. How are you doing?
I'm good, Monica. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's long overdue. I'm wondering if you can start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, so I'm Amberly, and I'm a prioritized marriage. And my husband, Joe, and I have been married for coming up on 9 years in June. We just celebrated our engagement anniversary. We have two kids. They're almost 5 and 3 and a half. So they're 16 months apart, keep us very busy. And we have a dog who was newly diagnosed with diabetes. So I feel like he's like my most high maintenance child right now.
Oh dear.
I have a degree in family studies and I'm a provisionally certified family life educator. So that's what got me into this. That's where my passion comes from. I also love music, Broadway musicals. Purple is my very favorite color. I will never say no to chocolate. And I've seen Gilmore Girls more times than I even know. My husband and I love to discover new shows on Netflix. We've binge watched The Office more times than we can count as well. We love to try new restaurants. We love to go on overnight dates and we do a lot of house projects together.
Oh, I love it. I have a show to recommend when we're done. All right. Well, everybody loves a good love story. I'd love to hear how you met and fell in love.
Yeah. So my husband and I grew up just like a couple blocks away from each other. He was a year ahead of me in school. We're like exactly 50 weeks apart. So he's 50 weeks older than me. And we had a class together in high school and I thought he was really, really cute, but he had a girlfriend. We never talked to each other. So I just stared at him from afar. I thought I was really, really discreet about it, but he would mow the lawn of the house where I babysat. So I would see him mowing lawns. He lived just up the street from my best friend. So I'd walk past his house all the time. Like I may have bordered on like stalkerish, like know where you live, know when you're at work. Like, and so we reconnected a few years after high school and he sat next to me and he's told me afterwards that the first thing he thought when he saw me after high school was, I think her name is Amber and she used to want me. So obviously I wasn't as discreet as I thought, but he wasn't too creeped out by it. So he got my phone number and basically from that day we hung out or talked on the phone every single day. So if we didn't see each other, we were texting all day and then we always had a phone conversation before bed and we were pretty much set from day one. So that's our love story. We got engaged 4 months after we met, started hanging out, started dating, and we got married 4 months after that. So
wow, that's a whirlwind. I love it. Yeah. So in the 9 years you've been married, what is the hardest challenge you've had to face together?
We've had a lot of challenges on a lot of different levels. And I was talking with my husband about this last night in preparation for the podcast. And I thought about, we had a miscarriage with our first pregnancy and that was hard. We bought a house and renovated it and that was hard. Learning with kids has been hard, just things like that. But I think the hardest challenge we had was after our daughter was born, she spent 3 weeks in the NICU. So we had a 16-month-old at home and a dog. He was important too. My husband was working and we had a baby in the NICU. And then even beyond that, she was like an eternal newborn. Like she was just teeny, teeny, tiny. Like she was still wearing newborn clothes till she was like 9 months old. And she had struggles with like colic and reflux and growing. And we couldn't go anywhere because she was born right before flu and RSV season. And so it just felt like this long, eternal, like 1 week old baby almost. And in the midst of it all, I ended up with postpartum depression, which was hard. And so I think it was just like, I would say that whole first year of our baby's life, there were just like so many challenges. And I think that was the most challenging. They were a bunch of different challenges. You know, there was the NICU, there was the baby who never slept, there was the postpartum depression, there was the never being able to leave the house and go on a date. Like all these little challenges added up to be just like a challenging little season of our lives, I would say.
Yeah, but
that's been the hardest part.
So what do you think is the most important lesson that you've learned about relationships through it all?
Through my own experience and like through my education and my studies and talking to other people, the most important thing I've learned is that things aren't just going to happen. Things aren't just going to work out. And you can't just wait till the next season of your life. You have to be constantly working and constantly putting effort in. And I really do think I learned that, like, in those first, that first year of our daughter's life, those first 3 weeks, we really had to make a concerted effort to connect with each other. Cause it was just this crazy, like, home with the toddler, go to the hospital. Husband comes, we eat dinner. He goes home with the toddler. And then I come home and we all collapse and we start it over the next day. It was just this crazy 3 weeks. And I really think it prepared us for that challenging first year because it brought us closer and it helped us see what was really important in the hard times so that we could use that moving forward. But just remembering that it's not just going to happen. You can't just wait for things to fall in your lap. You have to make the effort and you have to make the things happen.
I love that. So when and how did you get started teaching other people about relationships and specifically dating?
So I mentioned that I have a degree in family studies. This wasn't something I'd always planned on doing. I actually got my cosmetology license right out of high school and was just kind of working. And while I was working, I decided I wanted to go back and get my associate's degree and just get my associate's. So I started going to school. And while I was doing my associate's degree, I wanted to find as many good classes that I liked, like as electives that I could take online because I was doing mostly online school. And so I went through like the online catalog and just listed all the courses that seemed interesting to me. And the ones that there were the most of were in the family studies field. So I started looking into the family studies field. Eventually I have a love of music. There was a master's degree option where you could go on and be a music therapist, which I thought sounded really fun. And so I was like, this is the degree for me. And then when I got started into my degree, I learned more about marriage and family education. And that's where I fell in love with it. I've always loved love, been like this hopeless romantic. And I started blogging more about it. And my personal blog just kind of turned into this marriage blog. And sharing what I was learning through my education, what I was learning through my own experience. And it's kind of shifted into this like dating your spouse, making your spouse a priority, because I think it's something that's so important and something people don't do enough. And it's really fun. So why not?
I agree. It's so interesting because it is very simple. Like it's not easy all the time to consistently date, but it is a very simple principle that if applied makes a huge, huge difference in a marriage. So I love that you focus on that. So tell us your own personal story of learning the importance of consistent dating in your own marriage.
Yeah. So when we were newlywed, like I wish I could go back to newlywed us and just shake us and be like, do you know how much time you can spend outside the house right now? Like we just, date night for us was the same as every other night, except we like got takeout and turned on a different show than we watch every other night. Like it was just the same and it wasn't connecting. And we just took for granted that time that we had together. And I wish that we would have, I mean, we were busy. We were both working full time. I was in school, like we had things, but I wish that we would have taken the time to make that connection, to make dating each other more of a priority. Because when we got to that point of having kids and life and all the things, like, that's all I want to do now. Like I look forward to date night so much. I look forward to going on overnight dates with my husband. I look forward to that. Like, I mean, I love our life and I love getting to spend time with our kids and stuff, but I just need that time with my husband. So I wish that we had taken advantage of that more and done a little bit more before it cost us more money and took more effort and was a little bit harder to navigate all of those details, you know? And so when life takes over, I think that's when you really realize, oh, wait. And so I really want to share with couples that reason for don't wait until it's an issue. You know, so many couples wait to go to counseling until there's a huge, huge problem that sometimes is too far gone to really fix a lot of times. And so that's my goal, is like the preventative side. Prevent those issues in your marriage. Prevent that disconnect in your marriage. Have the fun together now so you can continue doing that. And it's easier to find ways to make it happen when life gets crazy and hectic and busy.
So good. Okay. Well, you know, my next question is going to be to give us all the good tips and tricks you have found and that you teach on dating on a fixed budget.
Yes. And this is something that we are currently doing as we're working on home renovations and we have kids and we now have a dog with diabetes, which is apparently extremely expensive, we've discovered. So my first tip is always to set a date night specific budget. I know so many couples that just take from the fun budget every month or take from the eating out budget every month. And it's so easy to spend that on other things. And it seems like then date night is not the priority. So in order to make date night a priority and have the funds for date night, you have to have like a date night specific budget. So say, how much are we budgeting for date night? And how much are we budgeting for a babysitter for date night? So we have two separate funds, a babysitter one and a date night one, because we use babysitters for other things, but we always make sure there's enough in there to cover both. So don't necessarily just assume you're going to have money in your date night budget to cover a babysitter, because you might find that you take all of your money for the babysitter and you don't have anything left for your date. So that's one of my big tips, is set a date night specific budget. We also like to gift each other with date night. So for like Christmas, my mom actually gifted us with a date night that we're going on this coming weekend. That's to go see a musical where the score is going to be played by the symphony, and they'll have the musical movie playing in the background. We've gifted each other with like gift cards to our favorite date night restaurants. I did that for my husband for Christmas. So gifting each other's with date nights, so using the money you would spend for a gift, you're gifting your time to your spouse. And if it's something you really love and really want, that's a good option. We like to look for free or cheap events. There's not as many, right? I feel like January to like March is just dry for free fun events. But in the summer, there's like free date nights in the park. There's free concerts. There's festivals you can go to. There's like a chalk art festival in our area where you can just go around, walk around and see the chalk art. There's Christmas lights in the winter. There's all sorts of like pumpkin patches, things that you don't have to pay for, or that it's not like dinner and a movie expensive type of thing. So we look for those free or cheap events in our area. We love to go out for lunch or happy hour time. So when things are a little bit cheaper, you can get like half price appetizers and drinks. You don't always have to go out at dinner time when things are the most expensive. We do a low cost option of our favorite date night activity. So like, we love to go to the drive-in movies, but it's really hard with the age of our kids, and sometimes it costs more and we're exhausted by that time. So we'll create our own drive-in movie at home, and it's, we might rent a movie for it, but that's like $5 versus $10, and we can do it at whatever time we want and bring our own food and do it while the kids are inside sleeping. So do a low cost option, recreate one of your favorite meals at home. There's all sorts of copycat recipes online. A fun one I think people like to do for date night is like fondue. You could go to like the Melting Pot and you have that big experience, but you can do something like that lower scale at home that's still going to be really yummy with recipes online, and you can still make it just as romantic and fun, but it's a lot less expensive than the like $50 a person you would pay going out. Like I said, using like gift cards, coupons. I remember when I was dating in college, I had a kid ask me if I was okay if he used a coupon on a date, and I was like, yeah, for sure, use a coupon. Like, if you to have more dates, for sure use a coupon. Buy one, get one free are my favorite. So yeah, and then date night at home. I mentioned my one idea, but date night at home is always a really fun option for us when we can't afford to go out necessarily or can't afford to get a babysitter.
Yeah, I love that. And for me, active date nights, I think are so, my husband and I love active date nights because typically they're very inexpensive and it gets us moving, endorphins going, and you know, having fun together. And so I love all your creative ideas. That's just the only one that I would add, like just going for a walk, like, hey, we need to talk. We put the kids to bed, lock all the doors, and then just take a walk around the block.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
Or a bike ride in the dark. How romantic.
That would be fun.
I love it. Okay. So what are the biggest roadblocks couples bring up when it comes to dating? I'm sure you get a lot of these buts. So what are some of the big buts that you hear from people about dating?
I mean, I get a lot of buts, but we'll just see how many times we can say that word, but they all revolve around four different topics. I thought about it. I looked at stuff. Money is one of the biggest ones. Kids is another big one. Time and energy, you know, so it doesn't matter what the reason is. It all revolves around those four things.
Awesome. So what do you say to those people? Like, how do you overcome their objections about money, time, energy, and kids?
Well, I think like the big thing, the first thing is you have to want to make it happen. Like, you can give me all the excuses in the world and I can give you all the solutions in the world, but unless you actually want it to happen, you're just going to keep coming up with more excuses, right? And I get that all the time. And I'm like, I am sorry. I've given you like 10 ideas and it's up to you to implement them and decide that this is important to you. So that's the thing I think I would say the most, is you have to decide this is important to you. And once you've decided, like, there is no other option, we are going to do this, then those solutions are going to start coming and they're going to seem more doable. But for like their specific ones for money, like we talked about setting a budget and having a budget specific to date night and then being willing to give up something else. Like if date night is really that important to you and you don't have any money left for date night at the end of the week, are you willing to give up your daily coffee or your trip to the drink place or eating out for that week so that you can put all that money towards date night? Like all of those things will add up to like a decent date night, even if it's just going out for ice cream. You'll find that money to do that, you know? What are you willing to give up in order to do that? Are you willing to put back some of the more fun things on your grocery list so that you can reserve that money for something else? So I think that's a big thing. For time, I always just say it's about priorities. I like to do a time budget, and I think I've talked about this on Instagram, but I take my Google Calendar, and my husband kind of makes fun of me, and I assign something to every single day. So it's just like you would assign a task to every single penny, dollar in your budget. You do it for every single minute of your day. So put in the time that you plan to sleep. Like you need good sleep. So put that in from 10 till 6 in the morning or whatever. And then put in work, because as much as we probably don't want work to be our top priority, it still has to happen. And then if date night is important to you, put date night in there next. Make sure you're giving it that time and not overcrowding it with those other things. And then being willing to say no to other things. Like maybe you have a standing girls night. Like I can't go to girls night this month because it's been a long time since my husband and I have gone on a date, and so we're going on a date instead. Be willing to say no to those things that are a lower priority. I know some people talk a lot about they have kids and our kids' activities take up so much time, and I've heard some of my favorite podcasters have said that they've either taken their kids out of so many activities so they like each get one and you're just going, so it's not every single day, every single hour of every single day, especially as you get more kids. I only have two, so it doesn't take as much time. And then for energy, I always say like go on earlier days. So go to lunch or go to breakfast or go, because at the end of the day, I'm exhausted for sure. After two kids and working and all the things, I'm exhausted. And don't complete your full list of to-dos for the day. Like save some energy. Know what, and it's kind of like an energy budget, you know how much energy are you giving to all these things? And you can't always determine how much energy your kids are going to take during the day, but you can say, I'm not going to clean the oven today because we have date night tonight and I'm just going to be so exhausted. And it seems so silly and simple, but it makes a big difference when you really think about those things. Like, where am I giving my energy to? Am I saving energy for my spouse? That's a big thing. And then in reference to the kids, I have tons and tons and tons of ideas in my book that I know we'll talk about later, but some of them are like do a kid swap. So some people say, well, we can't afford a babysitter. And I know so many people who do a kid swap. They have neighbors or friends who have kids similar ages. And so one of them will do Fridays and one of them will do Saturdays, and you can't stay out till like 10 or 11, but you still get to go out and have a date and then come home and put your kids to bed. And the kids think it's super fun. They'll switch off days every other week or something, so you can do stuff like that. You can include your kids in your date night in some way. So like have them be a judge of a competition that you're doing. Or we used to put our kids in the stroller when they were like younger and weren't really paying attention to us. And then we'd push them in the stroller and we'd walk and talk. Now they're like wanting our attention, or we can't really talk about as many things because they catch on and see them later. Do things after the kids are in bed. That's a big time for us. I mean, you're exhausted, but if you've saved your energy. And then the other one I would say is do things while your kids are doing something else. So if your kids are all off at a play date, run down the street and grab ice cream. If they're off to practice or something, run down the street and get dinner while they're at practice. If they're at school, that's like a good time. I've seen a lot of couples doing this lately where they meet for lunch or they go grab breakfast before they both go to work after the kids are in school. So taking advantage of those things, they really need you to give your marriage the attention too, and they're going to understand. That's a lot of suggestions, but I have all the solutions for all the couples. And like I said, it's just about if you are really wanting to make it a priority and if you're willing to do what it takes to make it happen.
Yeah, you gave some incredible suggestions in there, especially the babysitting swap is one that we've done that I loved. We had four families in a group. And so what we would do is once a month, you'd get all the kids at your house, right? But all the other times you got to go out and you had free babysitting. And the kids thought it was awesome. Now, if you have like 12 kids, that might not work, you know, but while your families are small, it's such a great way. The kids have a play date at a different house each week and you get three free babysitting date nights. It's awesome. And yeah, so we loved doing that when our kids were small. Now they babysit each other, which is awesome. We have like three deep babysitters, right? But we had to get creative when they were young, right? Because babysitting is expensive, but you can do trades. There's all kinds of like really fun, especially if you're like a hairdresser and you maybe do the babysitter's hair to swap for babysitting. There's all kinds of really creative, fun things you can do if it's a priority to you. I love how you make that distinction, because if it is a priority, you'll figure out a way. So over the years, you've been blogging and educating couples. What benefits have you seen to the ones who really do make consistent dating a priority in their relationship?
I would say even from my own like personal marriage and from couples that I've talked to, I've seen that I feel like we're more connected when we're being regular about dating each other. We have more fun, and not just more fun when we're on date night, but more fun all the times in between. And there's more relationship satisfaction. You know, I don't feel quite as alone. I feel more connected. There's more intimacy. You just feel more satisfaction in your relationship when you're taking the time to make it a priority. It's like, get out of something what you're putting into it. And so if you're willing to put that effort in, then you're going to get so much from it. So that's what I've noticed from couples around us and from my own experience.
So true. It's such a great foundation for your friendship as well. When you take that time set aside for just the two of you, and it's kind of sacred time. It's just such a good friendship thing to do. But give us your best advice for couples to use the momentum from their dates to create more fulfilling intimacy afterwards.
Okay. So I thought about this because I think, especially in the stage that I'm in, we come home, one of us takes the babysitter home. Sometimes we have to put kids back in bed, and then like date night has an abrupt halt, right?
Yes.
And then
I know that.
Right? That romantic, fun, whatever is done. Back to business. No more fun. So I just say, like, don't let the night end when you get home. Like, have a plan. Like, okay, I'm taking the babysitter home. You make sure the kids are asleep. Yes. One of you could draw a bath or turn on candles in your room or turn on the music. Like, make sure that you're setting up that atmosphere so that that does happen. Ignore the mess the kids made. Ignore all the things. One thing that I've shared a couple of times is that I didn't think about is when you're dating, you like stand on the doorstep and kiss and make out for a long time, right? Because you're saying goodnight and you don't want to go or whatever. But when you're like married, you come home and you're like, well, thanks for the date. And then you go your separate ways, do the dishes, watch a show or whatever. Take that time to connect on the doorstep. Like, how simple is that? How fun is that?
In the garage, have a good makeout session in the car.
And the car's a great place. Let's talk about it. Drop hints, flirt. Like, another thing is wearing something sexy on your date. And I know we've talked about like lingerie before, and that's a tip that I shared on my site this week, actually, on how to get more wear out of your lingerie. Like, wear it on your date. Like, let yourself yes. know I'm wearing this, or surprise them when you get home. You know, it's gonna happen more if that's the case. And then again, make sure you're not so tired when you go on your date that you come home and you're like, and done with the day. So I think those are just a few simple ideas too. Don't let it end when you get home. There might be a little break, but don't let it end.
Love all of that, especially like, yes, so good. Talk about the importance of overnight dates for a minute, because I know you're really good at that. And I think it's so important, even though it's really hard to leave the kids and all the responsibilities for an overnight. Talk about why that's important.
We have been doing overnight dates since like the second year of our marriage. So before we had kids, and now that we have kids, it's even more important. But we do these overnight dates, and I think it's nice because while a date night takes you away from like your regular routine and your daily responsibilities for a couple of hours, this gives you like a whole day. It's like a day off together. What would you do in a full 24 hours together? It's just like a big extended date or like a mini vacation. You know, we don't usually go too far. We go somewhere where we know there's going to be a lot of things around that we want to do for date night, whether it's like a trail to go hike on or a restaurant we'd love to go to, an area that has a lot of fun things that we can explore and do together. It just removes you from those responsibilities for even longer. And I feel like it really helps you reconnect. Like, it's just this long extended date. The date doesn't end when you go to bed at night and have to wake up in the morning and get right back to everything. So you can stay up as late as you want talking. You can watch a movie. You can, you know, take a couple baths together. You can sleep in, stay in bed, have breakfast in bed, order breakfast in, like go eat whatever you want, whatever time. Like, it's just freedom for your relationship. There's just something about it, and I just can't really describe it, but we always come back like more in love and just like giddy and giggly and that annoying like Twitter-pated those secret looks, you know, it just, that's just how it happens. And it's just so reviving for your relationship, I feel like. So we try to go at least twice a year. We would love to go once a quarter, but it is hard with kids. So
I love it. I love it so much. Okay. Well, I know you talk about a lot of these different ideas and suggestions in your book that is all about dating. Why is this such a great resource for couples, and how can we get our hands on one?
So I wrote this book because I started talking to so many couples about date night and saw all of these like obstacles and reasons they couldn't go on date night. And I also saw them so focused on the traditional idea of date night of 6 o'clock on a Friday night. We go out and we come home at 9 and the babysitter goes home. Like that was like their traditional. That's what everyone thinks of when you think date night. And so I wanted to provide couples with a resource. And so I wrote this book, and it's not just a book of a date night ideas. I mean, the majority is of it is, but I've put together the why. Why is date night important? What is date night going to do for your marriage? It's all research-based. How is this going to benefit you and your marriage? And then I talked about how to make it happen. So all of those common obstacles, like we talked about, time, money, kids, energy, all the things I took from specific buts that people were giving me. And I put them into this book and I put solutions. And again, they're all awesome solutions, but I've had people read my book and be like, well, none of those work for me. Like, well, I don't know what to tell you because I gave you everything I got. They are good solutions, but again, you have to put them into action. You're not just going to read them and have them magically work. And then I've given ideas to help you level up your date nights. So kind of to get out of that rut where you're just doing the same thing every time and date night has become a routine. Like how to make it more intentional, how to make it more meaningful. Those things like that kiss on the doorstep or make out in the car when you get home, those kinds of things. And then there's over 300 date night ideas. And it's not just a date night idea, like go see a movie. Like I've taken go see a movie and I have expanded it into like 6 different variations of watching a movie together. And I'm sure there's more because there's a lot of movie date night ideas in there, including like movies that you can watch together on date night that you're both going to agree on and one of you's not going to sleep through and hate. But there's over 300 different ideas, and they're for date nights at home, date nights on a limited budget, date night on no budget, date nights on like when you only have 30 minutes to spend together, those traditional date nights, the date nights when you want to go splurge, like for an anniversary or a celebration. So there are all the things in there, and you can just find it through my site, A Prioritized Marriage. There's a little thing on the menu bar that says date night book, and there's a physical copy, or you can get an audio version. You can get an ebook version. So whatever works, fits your boat, there's a version for you. And there are tons of date nights in there that will fit you as well.
I love it. I love it. So I'm going to ask you my signature question I've asked you before, but if you didn't go to the Epic Marriage Summit yet, you have not heard Amberlee's answer. So if you had the undivided attention of all the married couples in the world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about maintaining a healthy relationship through consistent dating?
And I think this answer is different than the one I even gave in this.
Yes, even better.
It was like, oh, I wanted to do one that would tie in with this conversation we've been having about date night. And that is just to continue to pursue your spouse, like beyond going on a date every weekend, continue to pursue them. I tell people, think back to the things that you did when you were dating. Like, I don't know what we texted about, but we texted literally all day long. Like, I would love to get those text conversations back. Like, were they really as exciting as I thought they were, you know? But like, text your spouse, do little things to surprise them, flirt with them, like tell them how great they are. Do all those little things that you did when you were dating to pursue them and make them feel like the most loved, important person in your life. And I think if you do that, like you can do the big things like overnight dates and big romantic gestures and buying great gifts and writing them sappy love notes or a love song or something. But just by continuing to pursue them every single day, you're making your marriage a priority. And it's those simple things that go a long way.
So good. You nailed it. Awesome. Where can my listeners find you and get more of your great wisdom on all things marriage and dating?
On most social media, at A Prioritized Marriage. I'm most active on Instagram. That's where I share like all my goodness. I do mini trainings over there, share more date night ideas like I've shared today and the variations on how to make them happen depending on your stage in life. And then my website is aprioritizedmarriage.com.
Awesome. Amberlee, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Monica. It was fun chatting with you.
I'm sure you guys can all tell why I love Amberly of A Prioritized Marriage so much. She is such a stud when it comes to creating resources for couples about strengthening your marriage, especially when it comes to the importance of dating. She offered so many great gems in that interview, and her book is just awesome. And I hope you will join us next week for my conversation with Leah Carey, who is the host of the Good Girls Talk About Sex podcast, where we go in depth on various topics surrounding sex and intimacy. So that is going to be a fantastic episode that will also get us ready for next Wednesday, March 11th at 2:30, Cami Hurst and I are going to do a live workshop and Q&A, and we're going to talk about the 3 secrets to unlocking your desire. So that is going to be absolutely wonderful. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to send out invites. So if you want one, make sure you email me on the brighter side of life at gmail.com to get on that exclusive invite list. We will also be launching another round of our 14-day intimacy challenge, which is so much fun. Our first round of participants have just finished the challenge, and we are mailing out all of their Lovers Gonna Love t-shirts, and we are getting all of their feedback, and it's been fantastic feedback so far. So I hope you'll join us for the next round. You can find out more about that by going to onthebrightersideofmarriage.com/14-day-challenge, and I will talk to you next week. But until then, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.